Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
This is an exciting time of year at Ware's Valley Ranch. Camp Arrowwood is in full swing, and before the campers arrive, we have a wonderful week of staff training, and we've got a great staff again this year. So this evening and in the next few evenings, we're going to be sharing with you the devotionals that we shared with our campers this summer. And I hope that as you listen, you'll be strengthened in your faith as we talk about why we can trust the Scriptures, why we can trust Jesus, and why that takes away our fear. Tonight, we want to talk about why I'm not afraid. Now, this isn't all about me, okay? When I say why I'm not afraid, I want you to internalize that and be thinking in terms of why you're not afraid. If you know that God's word is true, and you know that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're trusting him, that's the reason that you don't have to be afraid. It's because of who he is, what he has done, and what he has promised. And so whatever our circumstances, whatever difficulties we face, God didn't say it was going to be easy. What he promised is, I will never leave you or forsake you. God will give us the strength we need to get through whatever difficulties come along. So the first reason that I want you to think about tonight is that Jesus told us ahead of time that it was going to be hard. If the Bible told us that once you pray to receive Christ, everything goes smoothly, then there'd be a whole lot of people wanting their money back. You know what I mean? There'd be a whole lot of folks saying, hey, that isn't what happened to me. But instead, the Bible tells us that Jesus says, if you follow me, it'll cost you everything. You have to be willing to lose your life. You have to lay it all down. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But it's going to be good. And it's going to be worth it. So, Jesus said that his followers should expect suffering, rejection, persecution, and death. Now, if Jesus had not warned us about that, when it happened, we would feel betrayed. We would feel lied to. But instead, when difficulties come, we say, okay, this is what he was talking about. This is what Jesus said we should expect. Jesus tells us not only to expect these things, but he tells us how we should respond when this happens. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, Jesus says this, "Blessed are you who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus says, when you suffer for doing the right thing, don't get mad, get glad. Rejoice. Celebrate, because God has promised to reward you if you suffer for doing the right thing. How many of us have suffered for doing the wrong thing? Okay? You did something you shouldn't have done, and it blew up on you. Okay? We've all been through that. But when we suffer for doing the right thing, it's like, hey, wait a minute. I was supposed to do that. I was doing what God told me to do. Jesus says, and? Don't be surprised. Remember Joseph? When he refused to give in to his boss's wife who was trying to tempt him, he got accused falsely of trying to molest her, and he got thrown in prison. Hold on. That's not fair. But God was at work, and it was going to be from prison to prime minister. God put him in that jail to prepare him and to have him in just the right place for what God had planned for his life. Don't ever think that when you're suffering for doing the right thing, God is somehow overlooking your situation. God is working your situation for your good. So Jesus told us we should expect these things. As a result, he often puts us in situations that may seem scary to us, but he's not doing it in order to frighten us. He's doing it in order to teach us not to give in to fear. God will put you through things sometimes that are scary, but it's not because he likes to see you frightened. It's because he wants to develop courage in you so that you learn through those experiences to trust him and keep obeying, doing the right thing. As a result, those who love the Lord, who are trusting in him, overcome their fears. If you're trusting in Jesus, you learn to overcome your fears. This we see in the experience of the early Christians in the book of Acts. Back when Jesus was on trial in the Gospels, Peter was so afraid that he denied Jesus three times. You remember that? Peter's out there in the courtyard. Jesus is on trial. And one of the servants says, hey, you're one of his followers, aren't you? And Peter says, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this guy. Three times, Peter, who had said, Lord, even if everybody else deserts you, I'll never desert you. There he is three times denying Jesus. Why? Because he was afraid. But after Jesus conquered death, Peter was changed. We see him in Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 31, and in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through the end of the chapter, verse 42. Peter boldly stands up and proclaims that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when he does that, he is brought in and put on trial like Jesus was. And instead of backing down and saying, well, I don't know, that wasn't me, I didn't say anything, he proclaims to them not only that Jesus is Lord, but he says, you're the ones who murdered him. You're the ones who killed him. He's totally confrontational. Why? Because the fear is gone. Now he can tell the truth without fear of what might happen to him. James, one of the other beloved disciples close to Jesus, got his head chopped off because of his obedience to Jesus. And then Peter, when the people thought that was really cool that James had gotten killed, Peter was arrested. He's put in prison. He's got soldiers guarding him. He's in chains. And you know what we find him doing? Sleeping. How can you sleep in a situation like that? No fear. The fear's gone. When you are trusting Jesus, you don't have to be afraid. What are they going to do to you? Well, they might beat you. Yeah, they might. Well, they might kill you. Yeah, they might. But you know what happens to me if I die? I'm in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Talk about a promotion. Okay? So we don't have to be afraid. It's not that we never feel fear. It's that we don't let fear control our behavior. The difference between feeling fear and being afraid is that a person who is afraid is letting the fear determine their behavior. A person who simply feels fear can say, I feel fear, but I am not afraid. Practice that. Try it right now. I feel fear, but I am not afraid. One more time. I feel fear, but I am not afraid. You see, if you're trusting the Lord, then you're not going to trust the fear. You're going to know the fears. How many of you have been doing Adventure Rec? Let me see your hands. Okay. Was there anything in the Adventure Rec course that kind of gave you butterflies in your stomach? Huh? Have you been up to the top of that pole and then you jump out and grab hold of the trapeze? How many of you have tried that? Okay. When you were up at the top of that pole and the pole's going like this, did you feel queasy? Did you feel, yeah, these guys are not afraid to say, yeah, good guys. I mean, it's automatic because your body says, danger, danger. Now, you know in your head, I'm wearing a harness. I've got people who are belaying. I'm okay. I'm going to jump out, grab that trapeze, I hope. But even if I miss it, I'm still going to be caught. I'm going to be okay. Right? So you feel fear, but you don't let fear control your behavior, do you? You don't stand up there on the pole and say, why did I do this? I want to go home. Okay? I'm not asking if anybody did that. But I'll tell you this, you don't have to be afraid. You can feel fear, that's okay. But don't be afraid. Don't give in to the fear. Don't let your feelings control you.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jesus told us ahead of time, those who know Jesus overcome their fears. And thirdly, I know that everybody dies, but I want my life to matter. If you think you're going to make it out of life alive, you're mistaken. Okay? Now, when Jesus comes back, those who are still alive at Jesus' return will be caught up to meet him in the air. That's wonderful. And it's true. But you can't count on being one of those who's still alive when Jesus comes back. So you're going to die of something. You understand? What do you want to die from? Well, I was hoping to die in my sleep. Okay? But what if I can't sleep because I'm worried about the fact I might die? Just relax. God's in control. He says that he has already numbered our days. God knows how long we're going to live. Did you know that? God, because he knows how many hairs are on top of your head, he knows everything about you. God knows before you say something what you're going to say. God knows what you think. He knows what you feel. He knows what you do. You know what else he knows? He knows how many heartbeats you've got left. He knows how many heartbeats you've got left. That's why I don't exercise. I don't want to use them up too fast. Just kidding. Just kidding. Jesus promised whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Jesus' sake will find it. So how would you prefer to die? Now, I'm not running over to some hostile country hoping they'll kill me so that I can say, yes, I was martyred for Jesus. But I'm sure not going to let the fact that somebody might get irritated or upset or say something nasty to me keep me from sharing the good news with people. Is that clear? And so wherever I go, I'm praying, God, give me opportunities, open doors, give me a chance to share the good news with people. Because there are people all around us, even in church, who've never really heard and understood the good news. And if you know Jesus, you remember when that was true of you. You remember before it had clicked, before he opened your eyes. There are people out there who need to hear the good news, and you can share it. And that doesn't mean you have to walk around with a sign on the front of you saying, you know, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. You don't have to do that. But try, just try being honest and kind and loving toward people until somebody says, why are you so nice? And you can tell them, well, it's because of Jesus. You know what he did for me? I had broken God's law and I deserved God's punishment, but Jesus took the punishment I deserve. And so I've given my life to him, and I just want to do whatever he wants. And he says that I ought to be nice to people, so I'm trying. You understand? So, Pastor Wood, I don't think you've ever been young. I don't think you went to middle school. Okay? Yes, I did, and it was terrible. And people who tell you, hey, enjoy it now, these are the best days of your life, they must have had a terrible life. I'm not telling you this is as good as it gets. What I am telling you is that whatever you're going through, you're not alone. If you're trusting Jesus, he will walk with you through it, even through middle school, even through high school, even through acne. I was there, okay? Now I have a beard. It's great. But I'm telling you, whatever you have to go through, Jesus will carry you through. He'll give you courage. You know what my nickname was in high school? Preach. You know why? Because I was always looking for opportunities to tell people about Jesus. I didn't stand out in the hallway saying, hey, everybody gather over here. I want to tell you about Jesus. I didn't do that. It's just I was always looking for an opportunity, always looking for an angle, always looking for a chance to connect with somebody. Asking people, how are you doing? Tell me about what's going on. You seem a little down. And then gradually, well, do you ever talk to God about that? Do you have any concerns about the future? I used to say to people, I said this a lot when I was in high school. I'd say, what do you plan on doing after high school? They said, well, I'm planning on going to college. Said, great, great. What do you want to do after college? Oh, yeah, get a job, get married, have a family. Great, great. And then what? Well, retire, I guess. And then what? Well, I don't know, fish. Maybe play golf. I don't know. Say, and then what? Well, I guess eventually I'll die. Exactly. And then what? Now we've got a reason to talk. You understand? Everybody is going to die. I want my life to count. I want to do things that matter. I want to make a difference in the lives of people. Fourth reason I'm not afraid, the testimony of those who suffer. One of the greatest blessings in my life has been the opportunity to get to know some people who've been through some really hard things. And the reason that that has meant so much is because those are people who model what it is to live life courageously. And so Brother Andrew, who there's a wonderful book called God's Smuggler. I recommend it to you. It is the true story of Brother Andrew and how God used him to smuggle large quantities of Bibles into countries where it was illegal for people to have Bibles. Amazing stories, true stories. And I had the opportunity to get to know that man. Corrie ten Boom. She and her family hid Jews during the Nazi Holocaust. They protected Jewish people in their home. And they eventually got caught and were sent to concentration camp. And only Corrie survived. But I had the privilege of getting to know her. When she was an old lady and I was a teenager, I got to be her driver. And it was really cool. Just for a few days. But she spent time in our home and we had long conversations. And there was a lady who had suffered horrible pain and persecution for doing what Jesus told her to do. She was one of the most joyful people you'll ever meet. Had a tremendous sense of humor. She was Dutch. And I asked her, what is the difference between Dutch and German? Because they're similar languages. She said, Dutch is like speaking German with potato in your mouth. I thought that was a wonderful answer, and the Germans seemed to like it too. Corrie ten Boom was a joyful Christian who had suffered horribly and was absolutely fearless. And she was actually friends with Brother Andrew and also often engaged in smuggling Bibles into countries where it was illegal. And as she was doing that, she was often monitored by the secret police. They would watch to see what she was doing. And she knew those people over there at the restaurant, the ones who have the newspaper open but they're not turning any pages, okay, they're listening to what we have to say. So she would say to her traveling companion, how can I become a Christian? Or what does it mean to be born again? And her friend would begin sharing the gospel. And these people over here, the police, are listening. She was always looking for a chance to reach people with the gospel and to tell them there is no pit so deep, but God's love is deeper still. You don't have to be afraid. Getting to know people like that, getting to know the stories of people like Miriam Ibrahim, Asiya Bibi, Andrew Brunson, Joseph San, people who have suffered imprisonment, beatings, confiscation of property, all kinds of suffering, and yet in the midst of it, when their life was on the line, they displayed joy and courage because they knew that Jesus is Lord and he's in control. These truths don't change. It's not just something a long time ago. It's something that's still true today. From generation to generation and culture to culture, those who've put their lives on the line for Jesus are the most joyful people you'll ever meet. People who have suffered for righteousness' sake and learned how to rejoice, to count it all joy. That, dear friends, is what God offers you. A life of joy and courage, not a life of trying to protect yourself and make sure that everybody likes you. What a waste. Don't waste your life. Give it to him and let him give you joy and courage.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.